Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. We welcome especially this morning Christine Thompson, who leads the service. Chris is sitting at the front, and Ken Bartlett also. We will be having tea and coffee served in the hall after the service. I say the newly decorated hall. It's out in the foyer. There you are. Well, okay. But you will notice there are lots of decorations in the hall and in the church today. And this is to mark the marriage blessing this afternoon of EJ and Jacob, to which everyone is invited. So that's at 3 o'clock this afternoon, if you'd like to come back and return for the marriage blessing of EJ and Jacob. This week, we've had a very difficult incident in the foyer. So first of all, we would like you to think about and pray for Catherine and the staff who had to deal with this, sadly, without any help from the police. Because of this, we have had to stop offering showers for a season, and we will in the future be managing use of the shower in a different way. So, on a lighter note, church news is published today and copies are available in a box in the vestry, which is at the back of the church. Jane Thompson has put out a request for jam jars as she's running short of them. So can you please bring in any clean, empty jam jars and leave them in Leslie's vestry. Tomorrow is Bank Holiday Monday, so there will be a bank holiday walk organised by Georgina Forbes. This will start from New Malden Station at 10:30. It looks like a really good walk, actually. So if you want full details, please ask Georgina. And Georgina is sitting by the sound box at the back of the church. Okay, buckets and spades at the ready. Now that summer has made a welcome return, our thoughts turn naturally to the pleasures of the seaside. So with our Bognor outing less than a fortnight away, now is the ideal time to secure your place if you haven't already done so. Details are on a poster in the foyer, and Catherine Trewick will be happy to take your bookings between Monday to Friday, either in person or by phone. And don't forget, the church can now accept credit and debit cards, so you don't need cash. So finally, once again, 3 o'clock this afternoon, the blessing of the marriage of EJ and Jacob. Thank you.
We will read together Psalm 103, verses 1 to 8. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and do not forget how kind he is. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He keeps me from the grave and blesses me with love and mercy. He fills my life with good things, so that I stay young and strong like an eagle. The Lord judges in favor of the oppressed and gives them their rights. He revealed his plans to Moses and let the people of Israel see his mighty deeds. The Lord is merciful and loving, slow to become angry, and full of constant love. We'll now sing, Blessed Be the Everlasting God, hymn 588. Let us pray. Dear Lord, We give you thanks for all the things that we take for granted. Food, clean drinking water, a roof over our heads, a safe country compared to much of the world, electricity, a free health service, free education to 18, a police and civil service that is mainly corruption-free, free libraries, some money benefits from the public purse, tarred roads, beautiful countryside. Help us to count our blessings and be thankful for what we have, without being complacent about what we need to do to retain these things. We pray for the many people in the world who do not have these advantages. May we always be aware of them and work to help them improve their lives. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This morning we're going to be talking about rules and laws. I expect you have lots of rules at school, do you? Things like not talking in lessons, not running in the corridors, things like that. And there are rules that we have out when we're out and about, particularly people who drive. You have to stop at what colour traffic light? What colour? Red traffic light, you can go at a green. Why do we have laws like that? What do you think?
So people can cross the road.
So partly so that people can cross the road, partly to keep everybody safe. And they're very sensible laws and rules, but sometimes there are some that are a bit odd. For example, you might have heard these before, I don't know, but is it legal, in other words, are you allowed to wear a coat of armour in the Houses of Parliament?
Probably not.
Put up your hand if you think yes. Put up your hand if you think it's illegal. Right, the illegal ones win. Is it illegal? Are you allowed to die in the Houses of Parliament? What do you think? Is it illegal to pop your clogs in the Houses of Parliament? What do you think? Legal or not legal? Hands up for not legal. Hands up if you think it is legal and you're allowed to do it. Yes, you're right. You are allowed to. You don't get sued or put in prison for dying in the Houses of Parliament. Is it allowed to put a stamp on an envelope with the Queen's head upside down? Now, I've wondered about this. Somebody once told me that you mustn't put the Queen's head upside down on a letter. What do you think? Is it allowed? Hands up if you think it's allowed. Hello. Right. Hands up if you think it's not allowed. It's treason. Apparently, it is allowed. It is legal. So you won't have your head chopped off if you do that. But I like making my own laws sometimes, or my own rules. And I've got a rule this morning. I've got two little tasks. Thank you. Alan at the back has got some biscuits. And I would like you to go and collect yourselves a biscuit. Right, let's do those two doing biscuits. And then I've got another job. One for Julia. Right. While they're doing that, at the front, I have a parcel. And there's something in there that you might like. But my rule is that you have got to wear gloves to open the parcel. Right, so one rule says you have to be blindfold to go and get the biscuit. And where did I put the gloves? There we are, have a pair of gloves. Oh, Little's not coming. Right, okay. Sorry? Alan's got the biscuits. He'll wave to them when they... Right, you pop those on. Okay. Right, okay, off we go. Up you get. Hold hands. So if she doesn't want to, it doesn't matter. Are you going to go with Sue? Sorry, a little bit of negotiation. Her eyes hurt. Okay, take it off. I tell you what, perhaps you could guide Sue. You can tell her which way to go. Okay? So I want you to walk backwards, just to make it difficult. I'd be a terrible rule maker. Now you're going to walk backwards. That's right. You show where to go. Right. Come and get into this parcel and see what you can find. And I bet you don't get it. Okay, sweetheart. Do you want to walk back? Can you do it on your own? Alan's behind you, so you won't bump into anybody. Right. Is that more difficult than walking forwards? You're doing very well. Right. How are you? I think there's a bit... She's having a bit of trouble going on here. I'm very good. My husband says I ought to have shares in Sellotape. So I'm very good at doing up parcels. Right, she's getting there. Can we have the whole packet back, Alan, when you come?
Are they allowed right. any help?
Well please? Done. Right, Alan, you take the blindfold off. She can have the biscuits. We'll take the blindfold off now. It'll be quicker.
End.
That was a silly rule. Right, bring them back here, love. Come on, Sue, straight away. That's it. Well done. And I think we're going to have to take the parcel outside.
Made this
but my silly rule about the gloves
she?
Is not working.
Ah, that's got one started.
But we're going to learn about a time when Jesus broke a rule and decide whether we think he did the right thing or not.
Oh, aren't we going to see what's in the parcel? Okay. We'll now sing Come Living God When Least Expected, hymn 354. Jane Townsend will now read from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 18 to 29.
This will be read from the New International Version. You have come to a mountain that can be touched, and that is burning with fire to darkness, gloom and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking with words. And those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the far mountain, it must be stoned. It was so terrifying that Moses said, "I was trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteousness men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we live if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised once more, "I will not shake the earth, but also the heavens." The words "once more" indicated the removal of what can be shaken, that is, creating things so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Here ends the reading. Amen.
And Ray Taylor will read our gospel reading, Luke 13, verses 10 to 17.
Jesus heals a crippled woman on the Sabbath. One Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in a synagogue. A woman there had an evil spirit that had made her ill for over 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called out to her, "Woman, you are free from your illness." He placed his hands on her, and at once she straightened herself up and praised God. The official of the synagogue was angry that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. So he spoke up and said to the people, "There are 6 days in which we should work, so come during those days to be healed, but not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, any one of you would untie his ox or donkey from the stall and take it out and give it water on the Sabbath. Now here is this descendant of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound up for 18 years. Should she not be released on the Sabbath?" His answer made his enemies ashamed of themselves, while the people rejoiced over all the wonderful things that he did. Thanks be to God.
Listening to our first lesson from Hebrews, I wonder if you were as puzzled by what was going on as I was when I first looked at it. So I decided to grasp the nettle and to talk about this. We are accustomed to and think of God as the God of love. So we do not easily identify with the concept of God as the judge, either of us personally or of the whole human race. But this is the theme of the Hebrews passage. The passage opens by recalling the presence of God on Mount Sinai, which was so terrifying that their leader Moses said, "I am trembling and afraid." The author then says, although you are not faced with that terror, you have still come to God, who is the judge of all mankind. Be careful, then, that you do not refuse him who speaks. The passage ends, let us worship God in a way which will please him, with reverence and awe, because our God is indeed a destroying fire. How does the idea of God as judge fit in with your understanding of how the world works? Is it in any way real? The Bible moves so far away from its opening vision of God of terror that the apparent absence and powerlessness of God in the face of injustice exasperates both the writer of the psalm and the prophets. In Psalm 73, we read, I had almost lost faith when I saw how well things go for the wicked. They have plenty and are always getting more. And Isaiah says to God, why don't you tear open the sky and come down? Come and reveal your power to your enemies and make the nations tremble at your presence. And we find the same thought in the third passage for today, which we did not read because of time constraints. And that passage described a time when worship in Israel was dominated by the requirement to go without food, that is, to undertake regular fasting. However, there was a popular revolt. People said to Isaiah, why should we fast if the Lord never notices? Why should we go without food if he pays us no attention? But Isaiah replied, the truth is that at the same time that you fast, you are pursuing your own interests and oppressing your workers. Your fasting makes you violent, and you quarrel and fight. Do you think this kind of fasting will make God listen to your prayers? The kind of fasting God wants is this: remove the chains of oppression and the yoke of injustice, and let the oppressed go free. Share your food with the hungry, and open your homes with the homeless. And do not refuse to help your own relatives. If you do this, when you pray, I will answer you. When you call on me, I will respond. In other words, God's activity is generated by the sincerity of our prayers. If we pray, but our actions show we do not really mean it, then God hides his voice from us and abandons us because of our sinning. There is a prayer which sums this up. Grant that what we say with our lips, we may believe in our hearts and practice in our lives to your honor and glory. Isaiah goes on to describe the calling of the people of God as those who rebuild what has long been in ruins, building on the old foundations. We could do with such rebuilding. We do have houses, but many of those are empty because the people who need them cannot afford them. We see homeless people on the streets. Like many others, we do not yet know whether our younger generation will live. Certainly not in Kingston. So given this situation, what should we pray for? For God to solve the housing problem? But perhaps God holds us responsible for the society in which we live. I think the implication of what the prophets say is that God does indeed hold us responsible. We have therefore to do everything in our power to change the situation. And inescapably, this involves us in political action, an uncomfortable and disturbing choice. Yet, as George Monbiot has observed, to be at peace in a troubled world, this is not a reasonable aim. It can only be achieved by a disavowal of what surrounds you. To be at peace in a troubled world is not a reasonable name, because it can only be achieved by a disavowal of what surrounds you. To be at peace with yourself within a troubled world, by contrast, that is an honourable aspiration. And the snag is that we can only be at peace with ourselves if we have done everything in our power to change the situation. How do we do this as a church? I think by taking every opportunity to express what we stand for publicly, as the prophets did. For example, our government operates a hostile environment towards immigrants. We need to make it clear to the public that we welcome immigrants and strangers. And we could do this by using the statement produced recently by a charity and published in a national newspaper, saying publicly that we welcome immigrants to our country, we value the contribution they make to our way of life and to our economy. And I think we have earned the right to do this because we give support all the time to people who suffer from our government's hostile environment for newcomers. We are the community who have been brought to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. The Hebrew passage says that we have come to Jesus, who arranged the new covenant with God, and we have come to the sprinkled blood that promises much better things than does the blood of Abel. And this reference requires unpacking. When Cain slew Abel in the first recorded murder, Abel's blood on the ground cried out for Cain's banishment from the presence of God. But by contrast, the blood of Jesus, his sacrificial life, brings us into the presence of God. He opened to us a new way, a living way, through the curtain, that is, through his own body, into the presence of God. The release which Christ offers to all of us is pictured very clearly in today's gospel. Jesus reveals that the true worship of God is not the obeying rules. It's about using the Sabbath to bring release to a woman who had been crippled for 18 years. Satan has kept this woman bound for 18 years. Should she not be released on the Sabbath day? So we are a privileged community, and we have the responsibility that privilege brings to everybody. We have a duty to bring release to the community in which we are. try to be at peace with everyone and live a holy life, because no one will see the Lord unless you do that. Yet we live in a world which ignores the word of God about justice, which exploits vulnerable people, and a world in which human life is not sacred. We inhabit a beautiful planet, but the results of our abuse is threatening life for us all. Is this an issue which is of concern to God? Is it conceivable that human failure to care for the planet leads inevitably to the planet's inability to care for us? We were given a charge to care for the planet, and we have failed to do so. We were given enough food to feed all the people, but our systems and greed mean that many are starving. So we do live in God's world, but we do not live by God's ways. The closing verses of the Hebrew passage is mysterious and almost poetic. Be careful then, and do not refuse to hear him who speaks. Those who refuse to hear the one who gave the divine message on earth in the Old Testament did not escape. How much less then shall we escape if we turn away from the ones who speaks from heaven? His voice shook the earth at that time, but now he has promised, I will once more shake not only the earth, but heaven as well. Created things will be shaken and removed, so that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. Let us be thankful then, because we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us be grateful and worship God in a way which will please him with reverence and awe, because our God is a destroying fire. God's care for the world and us includes judgment. The fundamental values which we have learned from Christ cannot be flouted forever with impunity. There are times when I feel that everything I believed in has been stolen. But the judgment of God is real. We need to worship him in a way that will please him, with reverence and awe, because our God is a destroying fire. We are not unaccountable. Every day we are involved with one who is the ground of our being and the judge of all human people. The problems our country and the world are experiencing is not the result of God's anger. They are what happens when people work against the grain of the world is structured. Because we are human, we are responsible for the world. And this is how I understand the concept of judgment and biblical teaching on the working of the providence of God. It means that involvement in public affairs is part of Christian commitment. Because we have been given a more profound understanding of the consequences of turning back from the grace of God than those who do not have our faith. And therefore, we have a duty to live in a way which reveals the value that cannot be shaken, so that we can help to give people an anchor in an unstable world.
We'll now sing the hymn, O Thou Not Made with Hands, number 617. Let us pray. We pray for the world's indigenous people, often marginalized and suffering from violence, their values ignored, and their contribution to safeguarding forests and fragile environments ignored. We hold before you the victims of enforced disappearances, people dragged from their homes and never seen again. May the bereaved families be comforted and loved ones be found. We pray for those of all races who respond to humanitarian emergencies. Protect them in danger and support them as they seek to help victims of humankind's warfare and cruelty. We pray for all young people as they grow to maturity, those coping with a competitive, materialistic, and superficial community, those suffering poverty and neglect. Help them to know your love and show courage in developing what is right for them. We pray for all those taking part in the Green Belt Festival this weekend and for an inspiring Christian AIDS presence there. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We will continue our worship as our offering is received. Eternal God, we come with these gifts to offer the praise of our lips and the service of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll now sing the rousing hymn, Praise to the Holiest in the Height, number 103. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. So please sit down. Now, nobody needs to panic. This is just a drill. We'll do this and then hear what the children have got to tell us. So we're shortly going to have to appoint a new fire officer. And we are aware that we haven't given any thought to what might happen if a fire broke out. So without moving out of your seats, just have a look round and think about how you would get out if a fire alarm suddenly went off. Okay, so that's all you need to do at the moment. When we finish the service, some of you might like to walk out the way you were thinking of going and see if you encounter any obstacles. And any feedback you want to give the management committee or Catherine, either verbally or in writing, would be very useful. Okay, now you've all been very patient. What was in that box?
We had Maltesers, and for those with a healthy living, we had grapes. And we haven't eaten them because we were going to show you.
Oh,
and then
that was
we went
very
into
kind
the kitchen
of you.
And we decorated biscuits according to all sorts of funny rules. For example, you could only do it with your left hand. You had to turn round twice in between. You had to stand on one leg, just to prove that laws can be very silly. But we did learn how Jesus broke the law in order to heal a disabled lady.
So a very important thing for us. Some rules are very sensible and important, and some are less so. And as you grow up, you need to learn which are which. Thank you.